listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 200 Fox Sports radio stations, 6 o'clock Eastern, drive time, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We got a big, big show, man. Big show. Hard Knocks tonight. I'm excited. And there's a way to make money. Money from Hard Knocks. Cold cash over hot takes. Joined in studio. Steve Fezzik. He thinks the Browns might be on Hard Knocks. He says there might be a surprise coming up. He loves the Browns. Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start here on Straight Out of Vegas with the return of the great HBO series Hard Knocks, which debuts later on tonight. And, of course, it is of none other than the soon-to-be Las Vegas, but currently Oakland Raiders.
Wow, this city is so excited about this Raiders team. I was on another show, and I said, close your eyes and think of 10 years ago. Think about, let me do the math here, 2009. And imagine if we said, okay, the NFL is going to come around on gambling. In fact, the Oakland Raiders are going to be in Vegas, in the Vegas Raiders. What brand in the NFL would even come in second as like, oh, you know who should be in Vegas? The Raiders, right? Like, who's even second on that list? You know, the Pirates, the Outlaws, you know, the Pirate flag kind of thing, the Winter Wind. I got to be honest, there's no Winter Wind, but it fits. It fits. And I'm excited. And we've been talking about it for about a year. I mean, we're coming up on the first anniversary of Straight Out of Vegas. It'll be in September. And Brad, let's give credit where credit's due, because you're a tough cookie, but when you're honest. When all the talk was about Gruden, all the talk was about this draft was bad and they shouldn't have done this and that, and they're sending home their scouts and all that. What was it that I was leading with? What did we think the focus was?
Well, your thing, hey, Oakland's playing a different game. The reality of hiring a guy like John Gruden was, let's just get the Raiders to Vegas in a couple years. And who would you rather have for those couple years of smoothing things over in Oakland than John Gruden? So you were obviously right on the mark there.
It feels like it, because what is the game you are playing is the first question you've got to ask yourself. And it sounds kind of cliche. Not even cliche, but trite. It sounds like, oh, that's a fortune cookie philosophy. No, it's probably the most important thing that Vegas has taught me. So, Fez, there's certain cliches like video poker bad, which you would say for most people, don't try this at home. Absolutely correct. Video poker bad if you want to make money. But if there's certain kind of payoffs on two pairs and progressive jackpot is above X, all of a sudden now it's a great bet. It's an earning bet, correct?
Correct, especially if they're giving away a car and you're getting extra drawing tickets for playing that 100.3% game.
Exactly. Yeah. So here's the key. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Here's the key. Video poker bad, pretty simple, probably right 99% of the time. But if you know the rules, you know the game, all of a sudden it can be the opposite. It can be good. It can be profitable. So I was listening to Colin today, Colin Cowherd, my favorite radio guy in the business, Fox Sports Radio, Jonas and him, personal issues. We don't judge.
Good God.
But the fact of the matter is that Colin said something about Gruden that he meant as a negative when I think it's a positive. He said, hey, let's be candid. Gruden's great for business, but I'm not so sure he's great winning. Now, first off, I tend to agree with him. I'm not so sure. So I agree with Colin. If winning is the ultimate goal, I'm not so sure that Gruden was the right hire. Who in the heck is childish enough to think that's the ultimate goal? Because you know something, in the NBA, you could pay the repeater tax. I mean, there really is no hard cap in the NBA. How many teams have paid the repeater tax? So this is just basic, hey, if you go over the cap 1 year, it's here's a fee. If it's another year, it's a worse fee. And then it gets to be draconian where you can't, if you get into this repeater hell or whatever, you're paying hundreds of millions of dollars in penalties. Who has ever done it? Right? Not in any kind of, you know, nine-figure way. It's never been done. Teams have gone over the cap. Teams have done it a second year. But there's a point where they just won't do it. So if winning was the only thing, no one would even think about it. Right? This is a business. It's economics. Now, the intersection of sports and business is one of the great challenges of covering sports. You know, because the reality is that there's business elements to it, and there is the joy of fandom, fanatic, of back to boyhood. You know, I'm a pretty bottom line guy when it comes to sports betting, right? I can appreciate having fun with it, but for me, the fun part's getting the best of it, right? But I've never won a bet more exciting for me ever than when the Steelers won the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 40. It had been 26 years in between, 25, 26 years in between when they won Super Bowl 14 and then they won Super Bowl 40. Now, I was 10 years old when they won their fourth Super Bowl. And I'm talking about being spoiled. When you win four between the ages of 5 and 10, that's the normal, right? And then it's 25 years plus. I woke up in a Hollywood, this is true, not Tarantino style, but a Hollywood. It was actually the Beverly Hilton. You've probably had a night there or two, right, Jonas?
Well, who hasn't? Especially yeah, after a Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
So I woke up next to the commode. Don't remember how I got there. Leather jacket, no shirt. That's all I'm going to say. Never won a bet that got me that excited. All right. So, yes, there's the fandom part. There's the boyhood, the youth. And then there's the monetization of that. Really, the business of sports is monetizing the feeling that led me to wake up in a Los Angeles hotel room next to the toilet with a leather jacket and no shirt. That's what they're trying to monetize. And back to the Raiders, by far the least financially solvent, the poorest family of any of the 32 owners, right? That's not even a debate, is it?
Yep.
Yep, it's not a debate.
It's not a debate. And that's until they come to Vegas.
Exactly. So what was the question? The bridge. How do we get from here to there? Because when we're in Vegas, we're going to be fine. The Davises are thinking. How do we bridge it? Well, we pay a star 10 sticks a year to distract. Not on purpose. He's doing his thing. That's his act. So Colin says it might not help win games. I got to tell you, Raiders won 10 games a couple years ago, and they were a mighty lucky team that year, Fez. They won double digits.
They won 12.
Exactly.
They should have only won 9.
But the fact was, how much of a story was that? Gruden literally changing the type of ball cap he wears would get more attention in the offseason than the difference between winning 12 games and 9 games in 1 year. Now, if you just lose and lose and lose, it's a different story. If you win and win and win, it's a different story. But think about it. Carolina came one game from the ultimate success. Does anyone look back at Cam's career and think it's redeemed by that? If anything, that's the exception that proves the rule to a lot of haters of Cam. Oh, look, when he really got it together, look how good he was. But now look at these other seasons, right? Rex Grossman was one game from winning it, right? Now, listen, if you win it, it's a different story. But Houston Texans making the playoffs or not, and having TJ Yates or whatever limp around to a loss in the play, what does it mean? Not much. Versus millions of dollars, versus movie stars, versus TV stars. So to me, the Raiders made a brilliant move. The game was keep the game playing until the rules adjust in our favor, a la we're in Vegas, and anything it takes to get there doesn't matter. The incremental difference we're paying for Gruden versus an average coach, and let's say Gruden's average, so we're overpaying by that amount. It's a rounding error when it comes to the billions of dollars that a franchise... I mean, what are the Raiders going to be worth in 10 years?
Triple what they were last year.
How did you get that number?
I don't know, because the estimations were it was going to be double within just the move from Oakland to Vegas.
So double from what to what?
Like $600 million to $1.2 billion is what the estimates that I've...
Wow. The idea you could...
As far as Mark Davis's wealth.
Okay. Yeah. So, but either way, the $5 million or whatever that Gruden might be overpaid by some metrics is a rounding error.
They just got $20 million just getting a Legionnaire to like name the stadium.
Is that what it is per year?
I think it's a one-time deal.
That doesn't make any sense. We'll have to look into that. Okay. You might want to like look into things before you just say them. Fez gets excited. If he doesn't talk, if he goes like 4 minutes without talking, he's just going to interject something regardless. But we'll check on that. But stage one to me of Hard Knocks is what kind of game is this? And Gruden getting the team. Do you really think they'd be on the Raiders without Gruden? Getting the Raiders on Hard Knocks is an example, it's emblematic of the purpose he's serving. Colin, with an old school mentality that I love most of the time, is saying, well, is it helping us win? And he says, no, I agree with him that Gruden's probably not helping the Raiders win all that much. I mean, he's not doing horrible. I just think he's pretty average for an NFL coach. That's fine. But getting the Raiders the attention, the distraction, the, hey, let's not worry so much about this because soon enough they're going to be in Vegas. And, oh, by the way, they're on Hard Knocks, so no big deal. That is why Gruden was hired, in my opinion. And if so, well, the Davises are Mark Davis, mighty smart. Because once they're here, the financial problems, at least, are over for the Raiders. When we come back, we'll try to help our financial situation. There's a way Hard Knocks can literally make you money.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, you can actually make money just by watching TV.
Now that I want to wait for. That's a career I missed out on. Thanks for joining us. Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 106 degrees, 106. The neon is bubbling.
So, RJ, we talked a lot about Hard Knocks, the debut of the Oakland Raiders coming up later on tonight on HBO. And believe it or not, if you just pay close enough attention, you in Vegas and the voice of Vegas know how you can make money on the Oakland Raiders in the preseason.
Yeah, we got the history on it. In the first segment, if you missed it, get the podcast, guys. The growth has been great on the pod. Just search for RJ Bell on your favorite pod player. You got Straight Out of Vegas. You've got the Dream Preview, which is a deep dive we do. All free. Subscribe. And as we said in the first block, Gruden is a movie star, is a star, TV star, and that's why they're on Hard Knocks, and being on Hard Knocks is a big thing for a Raiders team that needs the bridge to Vegas. And man, I'm sure we'll be spending a lot of time talking about Gruden and what kind of star he really is.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose. Let's go play some football. Let's go.
Now the question is, are they going to win games? Now, here's the theory in sports betting. This is one you can apply to any sport, really. Public attention for a team. Let's use women's soccer. Right? How many people knew much about women's soccer? I'm not sure if it's women's or ladies soccer. So I'm gonna assume women's. Right? Is how much attention did that team get a month before the World Cup? Not none. Yep. Pretty much none.
Zero.
I mean, if they were at Barnes & Noble, how many people would show up? Would have shown up? I mean, a couple, you know, maybe 100 or 200. I mean, would there have been 1,000? No way.
How many would recognize Megan Rapinoe?
Who?
Exactly.
Rapinoe.
Yeah. How many would recognize a lady that we have no idea who he's referencing? Well, probably nobody. You know what's funny is, you know how they do those kind of, did so-and-so say it, or did, so, you know, did Daffy Duck say it, or did, you know, Senator X say it, or, you know, whatever connection they're trying to make is, it's literally, did Fezzik say it, or did Forrest Gump say it? I mean, I bet we could fool people. But the funny thing is, you know, I remember an old episode of Dallas, the old Dallas J.R. Ewing style show, and Cliff Barnes, who was the nemesis. You know what's funny? The Gormans were on before us in this slot, right? And Jeffrey, great guy, both of them, great guys. And Jeffrey and I used to do a minute of Dallas trivia a week. I would do a weekly segment. Now, maybe that's why they're not on air anymore. You know, it was that loose, but it was awesome. It was like, it'd be like, how many acres is South Fork, you know? And I was like, probably 80%. I mean, it was crazy trivia, too. But anyway, JR told Cliff once, he goes, you know, people will accept the darndest things from someone who's really rich. And they think, oh, it's quirky. Look, so, you know, so-and-so's out walking in his pajamas. You know, Howard Hughes hasn't left it. Oh, it's funny. He's a billionaire. But if somehow he wasn't a billionaire. So Fezzik is obviously brilliant. I mean, he's the only two-time Super Contest champion. The only guy ever to do that. Maybe the best NFL handicapper in the world. And Forrest Gump and him share a lot of traits. True or false?
Forrest Gump also had a lot of money. The Bubba Gump shrimp.
That's Red Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Okay, so what we know is this. Attention leads to interest and popularity. And with popularity comes betting support, which means they get expensive. So, for example, if you would have had the women's soccer team before becoming, if it was a blind resume, yeah, USA probably would have been the favorite still, but they wouldn't have been near the favorite they were with the stars and stripes on their uniform. America, because one, it's a big betting market, and two, it's a gigantic brand, right? So the Raiders, if it were the 70s, we could say, yeah, big brand. But Raiders and money, Raiders and winning hasn't gone together for quite a while. So the Raiders, I'm not going to be anxious to bet them in the preseason. But then you think about, well, wait a minute. I just spent an hour this week with the Raiders. And by the way, they spent about 160 hours of tape or whatever, cut down to that 48 minutes, and it's interesting. Man, you see when Gruden did this and that? And, you know, I've been involved in a few sizzle reels, they call them, where, you know, they were thinking of reality shows. Listen. Reality ain't real, I promise. And this is just from a limited perspective. And the fact of the matter is, that the drama they're going to be able to generate from a naturally dramatic person like Gruden, like the Raiders, it's going to be very compelling. It's leading our show and led Colin's show today. And in fact, it was a rare thing where Colin mentioned it in his intro. The Hard Knocks was tonight. Then he talked Zeke. Then he went. So it was, he was so excited about it, he's talking about it in the intro, which he usually goes right into his topic one. So it's that big of a story. What does it mean? It means people are going to be more inclined to bet the Raiders in the preseason. The Raiders are going to get expensive. So on one hand, and Fez, we'll talk about week one's line in a minute, is on, so all of a sudden now the interest in the Raiders goes up. That's popularity. Popularity means they're going to be bet. The Raiders are bet. They get expensive. So on one hand, my instinct's going to be we want to fade the Raiders. Okay. By the way, what is the line this week?
Oakland is now laying 5.5 against the Rams. That line has moved up 2.5 points. Sorry.
Okay. And that game's end?
That game is home Oakland.
Oakland. Okay. So we got a team. Now, last season, if I remember correctly, there was something like 98% of the preseason games was within a point or two of the home team being favored by 3. It's almost like never that it varies from that.
Well, especially week one, yeah. Home team laying 2.5 to 3.
And the line is?
Raiders laying 5.5.
That's going to be interesting. Let's scribble that down, Brad. Is when? How many times in week one of the NFL season has there been a home favorite this big in the last 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6 years? I'm guessing it's once, twice.
And certainly the biggest favorite this week.
So who's the second biggest favorite? Somewhere like in the
Baltimore laying 4.5. The Harbaughs, they love to win.
But and what's the Baltimore stat on how Harbaugh and Baltimore's done in the preseason?
13 straight wins for Baltimore.
All right, so let's get this straight now. 13 straight. They're so good they can go through that unlucky 13 with no problem getting to it. 13 straight covers.
Yes.
And they're laying 4.5.
Correct.
And the Raiders are laying 5.5.
Yes.
Okay. Hard Knocks, right? Number two is, if that was all there was to it, I'd be looking to fade the Raiders. But now there's a second part. Distraction leads to underperformance. So on one hand, they've gotten expensive, plus they're compromised. Now, we went around in pre-production and said, what percentage distraction would Hard Knocks be? The low number was 15%. So Forrest Gump's, I mean, Fez said 15%. Everyone else was much higher, but we're going to go with Fezzik's low number. So now literally about a seventh or so of your output is being spent on distracted by Hard Knocks. So you've got an expensive team because of popularity that due to that popularity is compromised. Now you might say, RJ, listen, you're making a hell of a point. It's compelling. I'm like, give me the 800 number. But what's the data? Well, Brad, we got the data.
We do. Hard Knocks teams last 11 years in the preseason.
So this is the 11 years since the show's come back.
Since the show came back. There was a couple years in the early part.
Yeah, but since the show came back.
Since the show's come back. 11 years. Teams in the preseason on Hard Knocks, 17-27 against the spread. That's less than 40%, RJ.
So, guys, doesn't mean this game's going to win fading the Raiders. It doesn't mean the Raiders won't go 4-0 against the spread. But if someone wanted to bet me blind against the Raiders or on the Raiders right now for the whole 4 preseason games, I would bet the fade. I would say no, and I'd be pretty happy to do it at no vig or even with a little vig. So the fact, not soliciting, but the fact of the matter is I think fading the Raiders fits a macro handicapping framework, which is attention means popularity means expense. And in this case, distraction means underperformance. You got both of them here. You got history. We'll see by this week if we're going to be fading the Raiders as one of our best bets. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Yeah, I think we're pretty good there. Let's keep going.
Guys, next up, it is the Cleveland Browns, Steve Fezzik's favorite team in the NFL right now. He has been all over the Cleveland Browns. Also all over the Cleveland Browns was former offensive line coach Bob Wiley, who had some criticisms of Freddie Kitchens, the new Browns coach, and the way he was let go from the Browns during the offseason, describing himself as shocked that Freddie Kitchens got the job over a veteran coordinator like they had with the defensive coordinator there in Cleveland. And so Freddie Kitchens, in response to Bob Wiley's comments, had this to say.
It doesn't matter. Bob doesn't wear brown and orange anymore. All right? I had the opportunity to hire Bob. I didn't want to. I went to the hospital to see Bob. Every week he was in the hospital. All right? I FaceTimed Bob before every game, before we went out as a staff, just so he would continue to feel a part of it. So at what point does Bob realize that it was the players and not the coaches that turned it around?
That took a weird turn at the end. So it's almost saying, doesn't matter if he hired Bob or not. Or by the way, if you are a coach or not, doesn't seem to matter. But then he said, I had a choice to hire him or not, and I decided not to. Well, who cares? Apparently it doesn't matter. But all that said, I hadn't heard that tape. Kind of makes my point moot, actually. Not mute, moot, M-O-O-T. And here's why. I think Colin reacted a little much to this, and I'm going to make my broader point, though. This one I'm going to agree with Colin. My broader point is this. All through history, things change, but they don't really change. We think, oh, you know, rap is so much different than rock and roll and electro this. And yeah, really the difference might have been from Sinatra to the Stones. That was a big jump. And then there's been a lot of iterations since that don't mean a lot, right? They're pretty much, it's popular music. And I think in general, you could say, oh, these new kids, they think they got it figured out, but they don't really. But what is the comparison since, let's say, 100 years ago till now between the social media / internet reality of today and prior to that? And forget the internet itself. I'm talking about self-publishing. I'm talking about the whole idea that you can't buy a pack of gum without thinking you should put it on Instagram. That is a fundamental shift in the world that I think if we, as speaking for myself in my mid-40s, if you're looking there and saying, oh, these kids today, haha, I'm not sure that we're not the ones that are out of step. And when we talk about so much, it's going to be, and you know, Colin's analogy was, the analogy was the Browns are new money. And they're insecure, and they're buying a car that's a little bit better than they need because they want people to see it, and they're not sure of themselves. And Freddie Kitchens shouldn't have to respond in this way. And it's like, well, the president of the United States will not let anyone attack him without responding back. Now, is that good or bad? Politically, I think it's a debate for sure. I think as a brand, as power, no one can debate that Trump's taken social media and cultivated power with it. He's the most powerful man on the planet. Any president, if you were president, you'd be the most powerful person on the planet, right? So now the question is how to get to be president. Well, you got to be elected. And throughout the history of this country, and let's stay in the modern era now, to keep it simpler, is it's been politicians or war heroes. You know, Eisenhower wasn't a politician. That's it. You were either a politician or a war hero pretty much throughout history of this country. And then a reality TV star with a Twitter account becomes president. And I don't say that. It's funny. Half the people might be thinking I'm saying that negatively. The other half's saying, well, you're giving him too much credit. No. He was a reality TV star that became president. There is something different about today. And social media is the platform of that difference. So as much as I hear that Kitchens and think, wait a minute, is he really telling me about his hospital visit schedule I mean, that sounds like a 15-year-old that's trying to defend themselves. And the idea that that is, I don't think that's about social media. I think that's something else. But I do think we got to be careful. So to me, that's negative for the Browns. To me, though, we got to be careful. Something has fundamentally changed in this country with social media. And the ones who understand it are typically not the 70-something president, but typically the young. And it's usually the Colin Cowherds and the RJ Bells of the world judging, oh, once they grow up, they will figure it out. But for the first time, maybe in a long time, they've got things figured out that we don't. So on one hand, the older generation has some wisdom, and the kids have other wisdom. Now, the kids have always felt like that was the case, but they were full of it. Today, I'm not so sure they are full of it. They might be the right ones. In just a minute, speaking of generational conflict, Zeke versus the Cowboys.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead at the night in sports. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, Jonas, with the suits, I want to propose something. You can be my representative.
Okay.
I think with the news, you know how like on the floor of Congress, they'll say, I yield my time to the great representative from the state of Alabama or whatever.
Yes.
I think we should be able to yield news time in early August to, let's say, November. And then that way we can have more news time when there's news.
Right.
Right. And we're not speculating on potential Instagram diagnoses of frostbite.
Welcome to the modern era of sports and sports radio. That's how it's done, man.
Well, speaking of that, it's Zeke time, baby.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott, according to ESPN's Josina Anderson, she reported earlier today that Zeke will not play this season without a new contract. I know we talked about Zeke's availability for week one. There are currently odds out for that. But RJ, what does Vegas make of Zeke's bold strategy here?
Well, I got to tell you, I feel better about my bet. So for those that don't listen every day, is we have a new, I love the music. We have a new researcher. We call him the Hitman, Tommy the Hitman. And the market price was Zeke minus 200 to play in the first game. I felt, you know, it's about 66% or so, no vig. I felt like, you know, that feels too optimistic. But I figure here's the new guy. He's a little intimidated. Let's try to talk him into a better number. He gave me plus 260. So I'm saying no on minus 200. I'm just thinking I'm looking even better today. So Hitman, 10 seconds. How you feeling?
It was my first day on the job. You got a little nervous, and you definitely got the best of it price-wise.
Well, that talk about saying what's obvious. Now, what's funny, I think his hands are shaking, so he has a button to push. And he's having trouble keeping the button. I think it requires 2 pounds of pressure. So, I mean, he was having a lot of trouble with that. I think we should try to make as many bets with the Hitman now as we can. This guy's way too sharp. When he finally gets comfortable, it's going to be tough. And I say fleece him when you can.
I like it.
You know what's funny? Fez's eyes lit up for the first time the whole show. So, you know what we'll do? I think we'll get the updated odds. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll give you the updated odds on Zeke playing week number one, and we'll give you some early looks at some line moves in the NFL preseason.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So we are on Zeke watch still at Cowboys training camp. He has not shown up. Reportedly, according to ESPN's Josina Anderson, will not play this upcoming season without a new contract. And so, RJ, what does that mean for the Cowboys and their opener against the Giants coming up a little over a month from now?
You know, in a way, when you have someone who has a natural bias and then they go against that, you can be like, for sure, that's true. Like, I don't like war movies, but Saving Private Ryan, oof-la, you know? And it's like, okay, well, Saving Private Ryan must be mighty good. Well, producer Daryl, who's done an outstanding job with us, he's a player advocate. As much as Jonas might not like Colin Cowherd, Daryl loves players. And the fact of the matter is, even he said, boy, it's tough to defend Zeke on this one.
No, I can't defend him on this one.
So, in a way, we kind of know, but I thought it was telling. So, Daryl does a rundown sheet, and he wrote, Zeke won't play without contract. And I'm thinking, huh, that tells this story, doesn't it? The guy has two more years left on his contract, right? And he's in Cabo. Come on, right? But I think there's an interesting part to this story that we haven't discussed yet, which is the idea of what the Cowboys are saying. Colin's done a great job of talking about the PR battle, because really leverage here is public pressure against Zeke or against the Cowboys. The fans, in a way, Jonas, are going to be deciding when the holdout ends, when the contract is signed, who makes what concession. That's going to be the fans' decision. And the Cowboys, the Joneses, each generation, have done a great job in their messaging. They've got professional $800 an hour type PR people. That's obvious, okay? Zeke doesn't. That's obvious. But what Dallas did say was, we want to make Zeke a top five paid player at his position. Here's the question. Are we paying retroactively? No. We're paying for the years moving forward. And oh, by the way, we're paying for your non-contract years because we've already got you for those. And effectively, they do. Meaning he plays for the Cowboys or he doesn't play, if that's what Dallas wants. And the fact of the matter is, Le'Veon Bell played that game of chicken, and I think he won it. I think in a way, Le'Veon's a cautionary tale. It's almost like, well, the opposite. I think he's emboldening players in a way that might not be healthy because of the Jets. I just wonder what Le'Veon would have been paid if it weren't for the Jets. What was the second offer to him? Because it feels like the one, it only takes one. But it feels like the one might have skewed things in the direction where Le'Veon won. If you add it up, I make the case Le'Veon won. So it kind of empowers people to do more of that. But here's the question. After this season, after next season, which is also called when this new contract would begin in theory, do we expect over X number of years for Zeke to be one of the top five running backs in the NFL?
I don't.
I don't even think it's possible. I mean, let's just say he's a big underdog to be.
Yes.
So really, if I'm Zeke and they're offering me top five pay at my position for not this year, not next year, but for the years after that, when I'm like 27 as a running back, I'm taking it. Now, here's the one wild card. And you hear it in the Dak discussions. By the way, top five for Dak. Whew, talk about UFA. Here's what I would say. I think because the amount of the player's share of the or the cap effectively has gone up in such a surprising way because of these revenues that weren't expected. And Dak's on record saying, hey, there's gambling now, so there will be even more revenue. It's almost like the teams aren't supposed to be responsible to be cap reasonable now because one day in the near future, the cap's going to be much higher. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the real estate boom. Oh, go buy that fifth house because you'll be able to flip it in a year anyway. Negative equity, who cares? Well, we know how that ended up.
RJ, NBA.com released their all-decade team going back to 2010. The starting five, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, and James Harden.
Yeah, so interesting on social media. And I did this on Twitter. You can see the response. It was fanatical. So it's at RJ in Vegas. Here's what I did. I give you a list of 11 players, and here they are. It's Kawhi, Steph, LeBron, Kobe, Duncan, Shaq, MJ, The Dream, Isaiah Thomas version 1, Magic, Bird. That's 11. In the last 40 seasons, 36 of the titles were won by those, one of those 11 or more, Kobe and Shaq, leading their team. So some of the response on Twitter is people trying to figure out, they go, well, Robert Horry's got seven. And it's like, okay. But these are MVP level guys. So really in the NBA, we've said you can't win a title without a top five guy. Now, amongst the four, it was Dirk 1 year. He was top five for sure. Moses Malone, 83, top five for sure. Also, the big three for the Celtics, I would say Garnett was top five for sure. So literally, the Detroit team, this early this century, is the only team in 40 years that won a title without a top five guy. If you don't have a top five guy and you're an NBA fan, forget about it.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.